From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin on national news. Commemoration of the International Disability Day this year should be a momentum to affirm concern and solidarity in laying a strong foundation for the protection of persons with disabilities. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in his remarks virtually at the commemoration of International Disability Day in Jakarta on Thursday. President Joko Widodo said, "The government always strives to increase equality and opportunities for access to education, health, jobs, and infrastructure that is accessible for people with disabilities. All parties, from ministries to local governments, must also be active in supporting this. There should not be a single person with a disability left behind from the various service programs provided by the government. All ministries, agencies, and local government must actively support, starting from the need of synchronized data on persons with disabilities nationally, involving persons with disabilities in the preparation of documents for national action plans and regional action plans, and overseeing their implementation so that all action plans run effectively and benefit persons with disabilities." The president explained this year alone the government has issued 6 regulations related to persons with disabilities. President is ready to issue more regulation if needed. However, according to the president, the key is not solely in regulation. He emphasized that a good relation, a good plan, is useless without being serious in its implementation. The key is in implementation. Leaders of 14 countries, including Indonesia, have expressed their commitment to sustainable sea management through the launch of a new action agenda and high-level panel for a sustainable ocean economy, or ocean panel. The move is part of efforts to mitigate global challenges in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. In a written statement released by Ocean Panel Secretariat on Thursday, leaders of Indonesia, Australia, Canada, Chile, Fiji, Ghana, Jamaica, Japan, Kenya, Mexico, Namibia, Norway, Palau, and Portugal have committed to ensuring nearly 30 million square kilometers of their national waters are managed in a sustainable way before 2025. Indonesia is convinced of sustainable sea management with the help of the abundant maritime resources that will be able to restore the economy from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and lay a basis for more sustainable development in the future. Indonesia must have independence in developing the COVID-19 vaccine. Therefore, the Ministry of Research and Technology, or the National Research and Innovation Agency, has given support to 6 teams developing the COVID-19 vaccine called the Red and White vaccine. This was conveyed by the Minister of Research and Technology and head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, in a virtual press conference on Thursday. After submitting the Minister of Research and Technology's decree regarding the national team for the acceleration of vaccine development to research team of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, and the University of Indonesia research team.
Jadi kita memang harus punya kemandirian dengan vaksin.
So we really must have independence with vaccine, and that's why we provide support to 6 teams working to produce COVID-19 vaccine seats. With this decree, the institution or the team will get budget support, both a budget for research and later a budget for clinical testing. Minister of Research and Technology Bambang Brojonegoro further said that the 6 vaccine development team would also get the equipment of materials needed in vaccine research, either carried out by each institution or at the National Vaccine Development Center at Komplek Puspitek Research Center for Science and Technology Serpong. These 6 teams or institutions formed to develop the red and white vaccine are the Eijkman Institute for Molecular Biology, LIPI, Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Gajah Mada University, University of Indonesia, Bandung Institute of Technology, and Erlangga University. Saudi Ambassador to Indonesia, Esam Abid Al-Ghafi, met with Indonesian Youth and Sport Minister Zainuddin Amali as part of efforts to seek support for his country's bid for hosting the 2030 Asian Games. The Youth and Sport Ministry will coordinate with the Foreign Ministry to discuss Saudi's interest in hosting the 2030 Asian Games, Amali said in a press statement released on Thursday. He further said he had advised the Saudi ambassador to hold talks with the National Olympic Committee, NOC, of Indonesia and other Asian countries. He said that Indonesia wants to help Saudi Arabia to support for its bid will become stronger, and hopefully that Saudi Arabia will hold talks with other countries about the matter. Ambassador Al-Ghafi said he hoped for Indonesia's support for his country's bid for hosting the event. Saudi Arabia pays great attention to sport. Hence, cooperation between the two nations in the sports field can be expanded. Let's move it on to the international news. A 4th round of talks between the Indian government and 40 farmers' unions over divisive farms laws failed to make headway on Thursday, but a cabinet minister said they would continue discussion on Saturday. In India's biggest farm unrest in years, tens of thousands of growers are protesting on the outskirts of the capital, Delhi, against the law seeking to rid the sector of antiquated procurement procedures and allow farmers to sell to institutional buyers and big international retailers. The farmers, who form a powerful political constituency, fear the laws passed in September could see the government stop buying grains at guaranteed price, leaving them at the mercy of private buyers. India's Agriculture and Farmers Welfare Minister Narendra Singh Tomar said on Thursday's talk, which lasted 7 hours, were cordial and the government was sympathetic. He added the government would continue to guarantee the price system, but farm leaders have previously sought a written assurance. Relief agencies in Ethiopia prepared convoys on Thursday to truck aid into the Tigray region, where a month of war is feared to have killed thousands of people and has forced refugees to flee along corpse-strewn roads. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed declared victory over the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, after federal forces captured the northern region's capital, Mekele, at the weekend. However, TPLF leaders have dug into surrounding mountains in an emerging guerrilla strategy. The war is a people war and will not end easily, its spokesman Gebretsatdakan said on Tigray's TV, adding that fighting had continued round Mekele. One aid worker in touch with Tigray said clashes had been taking place to the north, south and west of the city. Fighting appeared to be moving closer to the city, said a diplomat in touch with the residents. The world passed the grim milestones of 1.5 million global coronavirus deaths on Thursday, as several nations plan to deliver much hope for vaccine early next year to break the cycle of lockdowns and restriction. But even as the latest positive news about the vaccine was announced, with the Moderna candidate showing it confers immunity for at least 3 months, several countries marked new COVID-19 records. The pandemic is showing little sign of slowing down, with more than 10,000 new deaths recorded worldwide every day since November 24, a rate never reached before. As the world tires of economically crippling restrictions, attention has turned to the race for vaccine. Britain on Wednesday became the first Western country to approve a COVID-19 vaccine for general use, building pressures on other countries to swiftly follow suit. Listener, that was the news.
Indonesia.
Commentary today on the French way to overcome extremism. After the sadistic beheading of teachers in France and the series of follow-up actions occurred last October, French President Emmanuel Macron tried to anticipate a recurrence of these incidents so that it would not happen again. The French State Service will monitor and control 16 mosques in Paris and other 60 outside the capital. Quoting the newspaper Le Figaro, some are being targeted for immediate action by the government, some of which are likely to be shut down. The move is included in a new draft law to prevent so-called Islamic separatism and reduce foreign influence on French Muslims. It is also possible to issue some kinds of certification for imams who are deemed to have met the requirements. The French Home Minister, Darmanin, has sent a circular to every governor in the area where the mosques are located. There are 43 mosques that have closed in the last 3 years since Emmanuel Macron's government came to power. Macron's concerns are the possibility of fanatisms and the proliferations of extremism in French mosques run by mosque imam. Is this step acceptable to the Muslim in French and do not bring about negative responses from Muslim countries? Still, this needs to be proven. The closure of the mosque and the certification of the imams of the mosque are actually a series of steps that have been taken previously. At the end of September, President Emmanuel Macron invited the Grand Imam of the Grand Mosque of Paris, Shams Edini Hafiz, and the official of the French Mosque Council to agree on steps to be taken, namely a special law to deal with Islamist radicals who seek to disobey the government. To deal with this, it's necessary to increase the number of moderate priests. One of them is through a vocational program equivalent to Diploma 3. The cost will be borne by the government. However, for a diploma, the graduate must be recognized as equivalent to university diploma by the state. More technical discussions are continued in the next day's meeting with the Minister of Home Affairs, Gerald Darmanin, the Minister of Education and the Deputy Minister of Immigration, another step that the French president is preparing to tackle what he calls Islamic separatism in French, is to introduce new, broader laws. This law covers restriction on house schools and the provision of harsher penalties for those who intimidate public officials using the pretext of religions. In addition to providing identification number to children to ensure they are in school, parents who violate the rules can be punished with a maximum prison sentence of 6 months and also a fine. There is a prohibition against providing personal information that allows someone to be tracked by those who want to threaten their safety. The bill will be discussed by the French cabinet on December 9th. Of course, the steps taken by the French government to overcome this extreme action have ignited a response from the Muslim community in France. However, as noted by Chems Edine de Hafiz, vice president of the CFCM and the leaders of the Great Parisians Mosque, the current state of Islam in France is at a turning point, and Muslims face responsibility for it. French imams have a duty to ensure Islam is not behind the extreme action that have occurred. The plan is that the CFCM will establish a registration for priests in French, each of whom will sign a charter before gaining accreditation. Of course, each country has its own way of dealing with the possibility of extremist action that threaten the safety and peace of its territory. However, the French government needs to be careful so as not to trigger negative responses from existing Muslim countries. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, we meet again in Today in History of Voice of Indonesia. We start from a story on December 4, 1977, Malaysia Airlines Flight 653 accident. A Boeing 737-2H6 aircraft of Malaysia Airlines Flight 653 crashed in Tanjung Kupang, Johor, Malaysia, when it was about to land at Changi Airport, Singapore, on December 4, 1977. The plane crash that killed all 93 passengers and 7 crew members was the third largest aircraft accident in the history of Malaysia Airlines. The plane was en route from Penang to Singapore via Kuala Lumpur and was already preparing to land. While on the flight, the plane experienced a hijacking until it finally crashed in Tanjung Kupang, Johor, Malaysia. Next turn to a history which occurred on December 4, 1998, Unity was launched to space. The Unity Link model was the first international space station component from the United States. This Unity model is cylindrical with 6 berths and facilitates connection to other models. Unity was built for NASA by the Boeing company of its manufacturing facility of Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Unity was launched on December 4, 1998 into orbit as a major part of the Space Shuttle Endeavour on the STS-88. On December 6, 1998, STS-88 merged with Unity. The joining of the two components was the first connection made between the two space station models. We end with a history on December 4, 2005, protests in Hong Kong. On December 4, 2005, tens of thousands of people in Hong Kong protested against democracy and called on the government to grant universal and equal suffrage. The protesters demanded the right to directly elect the chief executive and all legislative council seats. They also urged the government to remove seats appointed by district councils in response to the limitation of the government's reform proposals. Organized by the Civil Human Rights Front and pro-democracy lawmakers, the protests began at a soccer field in Victoria Park. The number of demonstrators is estimated between 63,000 and more than 250,000. That was Today in History.
Suaramu takkan dapat tergantikan.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, the government disseminates the job creation law to around 35 business associations of Indonesia's trading partner countries to absorb aspirations and input in drafting regulations for implementing these regulations. Coordinating Minister for the Economy Erlangga Hartarto said in Jakarta that their enthusiasm showed their seriousness in understanding the job creation law, which will affect the form of business cooperation and investment in the future. These business associations include the American Chambers of Commerce Indonesia, the U.S. Asian Business Council, the European Chamber, the Indonesia-Australia Business Council, the Swiss Business Hub, the British Chamber of Commerce, and the Asian Business Advisory Council. The socialization was held virtually on Monday, November 30th. A number of important issues are discussed in several clusters of the job creation law, including those related to taxation, environment, employment, ease of doing business, and related to the list of investment priorities. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained that the tax cluster includes the elimination of corporate income tax PPH, exemptions from inbound dividends and capital participation in value-added tax PPN, non-payable assets. The job creation law is directed at improving the licensing system so that it is integrated and facilitates the environmental approval process for ease of doing business while still fulfilling environmental protection requirements in accordance with the basic principles and concepts of environmental impact analysis AMDAL. Meanwhile, in the manpower sector, according to Erlangga, the target of the job creation law is to create wider job opportunities, provide certainty and protection for workers, and provide insurance and protection for workers' rights affected by termination of employment PHK. The job creation law is also expected to improve the ease of doing business in Indonesia by facilitating business players to obtain business licenses through new risk-based approaches. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
We'll be right back.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to let you know about Kulon Progo, one of the tourism destinations in Yogyakarta. Various interesting tourism objects are available in Kulon Progo. One of them is currently getting popular, namely Prono Sutan View. This place is actually an ordinary rice field area consisting of many plots of rice fields, owned by local residents and village officials. The enchantment of Prono Sutan View lies on a concrete road that divides the rice fields, so it gives a unique impression. The expanse of rice fields seem like a huge stretch of green rocks. It is located about 20 kilometers from downtown of Yogyakarta. There are various interesting tourism activities that you can do at Prono Sutan View, especially taking selfie photos with a rice field's background. Taking pictures in the middle of the ribs with rice fields seems like you are on green carpets stretching on the right and left sides. It is the most popular activity at Prono Sutan View. You can bring your vehicles, such as motorcycle and bicycle, to go around, but it is not allowed for cars. If you want to get around, you can also rent bicycle with 10,000 rupiah for the first hour, plus 5,000 rupiah for the next hours. To get excellent photos with the stretches of green or yellowish rice, just come around in March, when the rice has started to turn yellow. This is one of the best moments in the yellowish rice color. After that, the second period from July to August, when the rice has started to turn yellow. You will get sensation of this photo background during the time. Not only taking pictures and cycling, tourists also don't need to worry about being hungry when traveling to Prono Sutan View. There are several food stalls providing and selling typical foods and beverages, such as geblek pari nanggulan, banyu bening iwak kalen, kopi klotok, and kopi ampirono. Listener, that was today's Indonesian Wonder.
Sepi kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku. Untuk merangkuku, kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu, ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ingin ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku bilang rindu, tapi maaf sebatas saja dulu.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, various innovations related to the COVID-19 pandemic were carried out by Indonesian students. Hand sanitizer made from stale rice by student of Erlangga University Unair is the theme of today's Miss Eleni. Rice wash that has become stale can actually be used, which is used as a formula for making hand sanitizers. This was done by 5 students of the Unair Vocational Faculty. According to Yasmin Aulia Hilmi, as the team leader, the bioethanol formula in the stale rice with the addition of basil leaf extract is effective at killing various microbes such as bacteria and fungi, including the coronavirus. This hand sanitizer has various advantages over the existing ones. The formula does not contain methanol, so that it does not cause toxicity effects. The basic ingredients used are natural, so they are easy to obtain and cheap because they are made from waste. In addition, the formula is efficient in use. This content acts not only as an antibacterial, but also as an antiviral and antifungal. In fact, the idea of utilizing rice waste arose because a lot of rice was waste for free from food stalls. In addition, hand washing facilities in the pandemic era are still minimal. For the extraction of basil leaf, according to Yasmin, it is carried out by using a mesh creation method. Maceration is the process of immersing a sample using organic solvents at room temperature. This hand sanitizer is called Nasi Wangi Gel. Even though it is made from stale rice, of course, this formula has a fresh smell and has been proven to be effective at eliminating microbes. That was Miss Eleni.
Hari terus berganti, banyak yang telah terjadi. Dirimu kian pasti segala akan kurangi. Oh, bila esok menjelang, bahagia pun kan datang. Bersinar gemilang.
cita-cita dan impianku tempatku tuju. Setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Waktu terus menguji,
waktu terus menguji
tekad yang ku miliki. Oh, dan kini telah terbukti. Oh, segala kan ku gapai, rintangan ku hadapi, cobaan ku lalui, semua telah ku dapati. Tetaplah bersinar gemilang tempatku tuju. Segala angan dan harapan tempatku padu. Cita-cita dan impian tempatku tuju. Setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, I'm going to present you a regional song from South Sulawesi entitled Pakarena. The song Pakarena was composed by Arsyid Basir to accompany the Pakarena dance. According to the story of Goa people, a regency in South Sulawesi, Pakarena dance is a myth which is tell about two occupants from different places. The heaven, which is called Botinglangi, and the earth, which is called Penghuni Lino. It is thought when waiting for separation of the two places, Botinglangi taught the Penghuni Lino regarding the way of life, starting from how to grow, to harvest, to raise livestock, until how to hunt through the movement of the hands, body and feet. Finally, as an expression of gratitude to the residents of Botinglangi, Penghuni Lino makes choreograph to each of these movement into a dance known as Pakarena dance. Well, listeners, here Ivan Swadi and Putri Reski with the song entitled Pakarena in the IDM version. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Satu-satunya yang mewarnai hidupku, takkan ku buat kau bersedih. Senyummu hanya untukku, kan ku selami samudra untuk dapatkan senyummu.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.